Amen. You may be seated.
And now if you have your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, please open them with me as we look into God's Word this morning. Romans 8, 38. You should have a note sheet in your bulletin. Please stand with me as we read God's Word. Romans 8, 38. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Will you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, we are in awe of these beautiful words. The Word of God, spoken by the Apostle Paul to the body of Christ. And member and friend of Trinity Baptist, would you pray right now that God would open your heart and soften your heart, removing Satan's blinders from your eyes, and make you good soil for the Word of God, that these beautiful words, you pray right now, just between you and God, that these beautiful words would go down deep in your heart and bear fruit. Now, would you please pray for the other people in this room? Same prayer. That God would open their hearts and soften their hearts, and that the Word of God would go down deep in their heart and bear fruit. And now, would you pray for me that I would preach accurately and therefore powerfully? May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. I hope that you are as confident as I am that God heard your prayer just now. Amen? I'm reminded of the pastor who was in a drought area. Must have been in a farm community. And there was a drought, and of course crops were failing, and everything was going badly, and they desperately needed rain. And the pastor called his church members together and said, we're meeting at the church on whatever night it would be. We're going to pray for rain. And the people came and sat, and the pastor was discouraged when he saw the people. And he said, I'm really discouraged. I've called you to pray for rain, and I have one question for you. Where are your umbrellas? You see, God hears and answers prayer. You just ask him to speak to your heart. You should expect him to do so. You just ask him to speak to other people's hearts. You should expect him to do so. You just ask him to help me. You should expect him to do so. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Have you ever heard such beautiful words? I will have to rush to finish this passage in 2 or 3 weeks. So beautiful are these words. Paul says, for I am convinced. Convinced. Convinced is the Greek word pytho. No, pytho. It means to persuade or influence. To win someone over. To convince them of something. Raise your hand if you are on Facebook. Facebook. A few of you are on Facebook. A lot of you are on Facebook. One of us, not here now, he will forgive me for using this illustration, has a reputation of using Facebook to persuade people of his opinion. You all know who I'm talking about. Carrie's brother, Michael Tyler, uses Facebook to persuade people of his opinion, politically and religiously. Praise God, most of the time, 9 times out of 10, when Michael posts something, he is persuading people of the truth of the gospel of Jesus. He uses Facebook to persuade people. The Apostle Paul, if he had Facebook, would use Facebook in that way. Look at Acts 26, 28. If you doubt me, Agrippa replied to Paul, "In a short time you will persuade me to become a Christian." Same Greek word. This word is very powerful in Romans chapter 8, 38. Paul is saying this, "I have been completely convinced forever and ever of this one fact. Nothing can separate me from the love of God." Amen. In your notes, number one, we can be completely convinced forever and ever that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Paul goes on to list some examples of things that cannot separate us from the love of God. We are only going to cover 4 of them today, if God wills. The first thing he mentions is death. Death cannot separate us from the love of God. Why does he mention that first? Remember verses 35, 36, and 37 of Romans chapter 8? Look at them in your Bible or up on the screen. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? Just as it is written, "For your sake, we are being put to death." All day long, we are considered as sheep to be slaughtered, but in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. We looked last week and we were reminded that Christians are being put to death all over the world because they believe in Jesus. I had the privilege on Friday of taking a busload of people to the Open Doors office in Santa Ana. Our bus was full of people to go to Santa Ana, Open Doors, and we were able to see, they were able to learn that people all over the world are being put to death because they believe in Jesus Christ. It was true in Paul's day, it's true in our day. And he starts out right after verse 37, "But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us." Verse 38, "For I am convinced that death cannot separate me from the love of God." He starts out with death, and that's number 2 in your notes. Death cannot separate us from the love of God. And Trinity Baptist Church, you know that me putting verse 38 in Hebrews and Revelation and John and Romans and Romans and 1 Corinthians is but 1% of the scripture I could have put on the notes for the fact that death cannot separate us from the love of God. Isn't that awesome? If there is one thing that everybody fears in this society, it is death. Everyone is afraid to die. But the Christian does not need to be afraid to die. I sat on my father's hospital bed and I knew he was going to die and he knew he was going to die, and he looked me straight in the eye and said, David, he called me David, I'm ready. With a smile on his face, death cannot separate us from the love of God. Paul's life is an example of this. Paul came close to death many times for Christ, but he knew that death could not separate him from God. In fact, he says in Philippians 1:21, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Death cannot separate us from the love of God. Look at Hebrews 2:14. And 15, "Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself, Jesus, likewise partook of the same, that through death," look at this now, "through death, he, Jesus, might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and might free those, us, who through fear of death we're subject to slavery all our lives." Amen? As Christians, we do not need to be afraid of death. Jesus has defeated Satan. Jesus has defeated death. Remember what he said to John in Revelation 1:17, this powerful statement, "When I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man." John is talking when he sees the risen Christ. "And he placed his right hand on me, saying, 'Do not be afraid.'" This is Jesus talking. "I am the first and the last and the living one. And I was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys to death and Hades." Jesus has the keys to death, which means he has authority to rescue you from death. He has the authority to do so. And so he can say to us in John 5:24, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in me, believes in him who sent me, has eternal life. Does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life." Death cannot separate us from God because Jesus saved us from death. Isn't it funny how your children are like you? If you look at your child, you will see yourself. My own family is a wonderful example. If you see Becky doing silly things, you are absolutely reminded of Dave at that age, and occasionally Dave at this age. Our children are like us. You meet a stranger, and their child is with them, and you go, "I know who that is. That's your son, isn't it? That's your daughter." We pass down things to our kids, don't we? We pass down things. Things are hereditary. You know, something was passed down to you from Adam. Adam. From Adam, you inherited death. But when you are united to Jesus Christ, you get something from him too. Life. Adam passes down the disease. Jesus passes down the cure. That is spelled out in crystal clarity in Romans chapter 5. Would you turn there, please? Romans chapter 5. Just a few pages back from Romans 8, and you'll be there. Look at this. Beautiful passage. "Therefore, just as through one man, Adam, sin entered the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men, because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the offense of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of the one the many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to the many. Do you see it? Do you see it in verse 15? If by the transgression of the one the many died, if by Adam's sinning we all died, we all were corrupted, we all were made sinners, if that is true, and it is, look at verse 15, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to the many. If Adam corrupted all of us, then Jesus saves all who trust in him. Look at 16. The gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned, Adam. For on the one hand, judgment arose from one transgression, resulting in condemnation. But on the other hand, the free gift arose from many transgressions, resulting in justification. For if by the transgression of the one, Adam, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So then, as through one transgression there resulted condemnation to all, even so through one act of righteousness there resulted justification of life to all men. For as through the one man's disobedience, Adam, the many were made sinners, even so through the obedience of the one, Jesus, the many will be made righteous. The law came in so transgression would increase, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace would reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you want to grow this week? Do you want to grow spiritually this week? Read Romans 5, 12 through 21 every single day. Same passage. Read it every single day and squeeze every life-giving piece of truth out of it. Sin was passed down through Adam. The cure, the fix, the repair. Life was passed down to us by Jesus Christ. What's the lesson? Death cannot separate us from God. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. And we'll look at our future together. 1 Corinthians 15, 50 to 58. Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. I had the privilege of going to West Covina to bury the body of our dear brother, George. A few of you joined me. Our brother, Serate, was one of the ones who joined me. And as they lowered George's body into the grave, Serate, with the voice of faith, knowing that when Jesus returns, George will rise again. As they lowered George's body into the grave and we threw flowers on the grave, Serate said, "I'll see you in heaven, buddy." And he walked off. It was a wonderful statement of faith. Verse 53. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. That's the Christian. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Death cannot separate us from the love of God. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. When Christ returns, we will rise again and be clothed with an immortal, eternal body. Death cannot separate us from the love of God. Thousands of our brothers and sisters have been put to death because they believe in Jesus Christ. But they win in the end. They win in the end. Look at this beautiful verse in Luke chapter 12. For all those who are in prison right now, facing death, perhaps in North Korea, perhaps in Saudi Arabia, because they love the same Jesus we do. Jesus says to us and to them, I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that they have no more they can do. I'll tell you who to fear. Fear the one who, after he has killed, has authority to cast into hell. Fear him. In the new heavens and the new earth, there will no longer be death. So I encourage you with the words of the Lord Jesus Christ from Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. The devil is about to cast some of you into prison so that you'll be tested and you have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. This was spoken to a church in Asia, but the word to Trinity Baptist is the same. Be faithful unto death, and Jesus will give you the crown of life. Death cannot separate us from the love of God. Number three in your notes, life cannot separate us from the love of God. Life cannot separate us from the love of God. Death can't, and life can't either. Paul is just saying the opposite. Death can't separate us from the kingdom of God, and life cannot separate us from the kingdom of God. I want to spend the rest of our time on the next two words, because they are amazing. Look at your verse, Romans 8:38. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities can separate us from the kingdom of God. Two very important words. You know what the word angels are, spiritual beings sent to serve God on our behalf. Hebrews says, are they not all ministering spirits sent to render service to those who will inherit salvation? Principalities is the Greek word arche. Arche. It can also be translated beginning. It means ruler or person in highest authority. Person in high authority. Like the first person. Paul is saying something very important here. Are you familiar with the famous passage in the Bible called the armor of God? Ephesians chapter 6 tells us this. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Why? Why do we need spiritual armor, Trinity Baptist? Verse 12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, arche, same Greek word as in Romans 8:38, against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Trinity Baptist, your struggle is not a physical one. We are in a spiritual battle. We are in a battle against spiritual forces. That is why we have such an emphasis on prayer here at Trinity Baptist Church. If you want Trinity Baptist Church to be the church God wants it to be, we must pray. Because it's a spiritual battle. And surely you know that there is nothing I can do in my own strength to fight demons. It's a spiritual battle. Our battle is against the spiritual forces of evil. And Paul says, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, spiritual, demonic forces can separate us from the kingdom of God. And that's in your notes, by the way. Should be number 4. No power or authority, whether physical or spiritual, can separate us from the love of God. No power or authority in heaven and on earth, visible or invisible, can separate us from the love of God. Why is that true? Why can we be confident that no spiritual authority can separate us from the love of God? Very simple, Trinity Baptist Church, because Jesus is Lord. For that, I want you to turn to the book of Colossians, please. And we're going to survey it quickly. Please turn to the book of Colossians. And we'll start chapter 1, verse 15. Here's a word about Jesus Christ. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him, Jesus, all things were created. By him, Jesus, all things were created. What are all things? Look, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers, arche, or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. Jesus Christ created the spirit world. Look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Colossians 2:8. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. For in him, that is Jesus, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. Verse 8, by the way, is why you need to be reading your Bible every single day. If you do not read the scriptures every day, how can you possibly avoid being taken captive by the world's principles? That's all you hear. That's all we hear every day is the world's principles. If you're not in the Word every day, you can't discern the error of the world. And you will be taken captive by empty and deceptive world opinions. 9, for in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in him, that is Jesus, you have been made complete. And he, Jesus, is the head over all rule and authority. He is the head over all. He created angels and demons. They got their life from him, and he is Lord of them. You're in Colossians. Skip to verse 13. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Look at verse 15. When he had disarmed the rulers, arche, and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. The beautiful song we sing, In Christ Alone, says this: no power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ, I'll stand. Jesus Christ has been exalted to the right hand of God, the highest position of authority in the universe. He is Lord over all rulers and authorities, dominions and powers, both visible and invisible. Look at this statement about the church in Ephesians 1, 18 through 23. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Look what God did. He raised Jesus from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. Jesus is Lord of all, physical and spiritual, visible and invisible, both now and forevermore. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him, look at this, this is about Trinity Baptist. God gave his Son as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. That's Trinity Baptist. Trinity Baptist Church. God has decided to save you. And there ain't nothing anybody's going to do about it. I want to remind you of two beautiful scriptures in the book of John. God has decided to save you, and there ain't nothing anybody's going to do about it. Look at John chapter 6, 37. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will certainly not cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of God who sent me. This is the will of him who sent me, that all that he has given me, I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life. And I myself, Jesus Christ, will raise him up on the last day. Jesus has decided to save you. Look at John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Death cannot separate you from the love of God. Life cannot separate you from the love of God. Angels cannot separate you from the love of God. No authority in heaven, on earth, either physical or spiritual, invisible or visible, can ever separate you from the love of God. No power of hell, no scheme of man, can ever pluck you from his hand until Jesus returns or calls you home. Here in the power of Christ, we stand. Will you stand with me, please?